Our scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 8 through 16. Listen to God's word. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor, I have answered you. On a day of salvation, I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the way. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heaven, exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. But can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of love, you who are with us always, be with us now. Guide us. Open our hearts and minds, our souls and all of our strength to you, to your good news for us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Cass served 3 years in prison on drug charges. Then he found himself homeless upon his release from jail. As he tells his story to best-selling author Mitch Albom, it didn't take long for him to turn back to the drugs that got him in jail in the first place. For 5 years, he lived in the abandoned units of a housing project in which he had grown up, until he met Pastor Harry Covington, that is. Pastor Harry himself had been a drug dealer, a convicted criminal, who found himself committing his life to Christ on a scary night as he stood behind garbage cans outside of his building to defend his family and home from the retaliation of those who he had just robbed. But now, Pastor Harry drove around and handed out food from the top of his car. And when Cass stole some food that was donated to the church, Pastor Harry told him to just go ahead and take some more until he was full. When someone stole the copper pipes in the unit in which Cass lived, flooding the apartment and destroying all of Cass's few possessions, Pastor Harry said, come on to my house. Come stay with me. And Cass lived with his family until he got back on his feet. Cass says, that man saved my life. I truly believe that the Lord has given me a second chance on account of this man. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Isaiah announces a second chance for God's people, Israel. The years of Babylonian exile are almost over, and God is sending God's people back to the promised land. The words of the prophet promise that God will make way for their return, ensuring security, providing for their basic needs, and even leveling mountains so that nothing will stand in the way of their return home. Come out, show yourselves, God says. There is no need to remain in hiding anymore. God's deliverance is at hand. Yet in our passage, we see that even after a chorus of praise is uttered, Zion, the people of Israel, utter a chorus of doubt. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Even in the midst of joy and hope at a glad reunion home, the feelings of generations of exile, they rise to the surface and are given a voice in our text. God's people utter their fear that the season that they have endured has been a season of forsakenness, a season of God's abandonment. Can God be trusted? Can God's words be true? Would God remember us again, even after such a long exile? God does not dismiss these concerns. No, God addresses them with words of comfort and assurance. God affirms that nothing could make God forget God's own people. God was with them still. God was with them even in exile, and God would be with them on their journey home. In language as beautiful as the New Testament claim of Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, God tells God's people that God's love is as intimate and trustworthy as the love of a nursing mother. Yet God goes even one step further, saying even if a parent's love becomes unreliable, God's love is certain. God will never forget God's own. And God doesn't. God's faithfulness is a hallmark characteristic of God's love for God's people. Even in the face of tragedy or loss or fear or doubt, God loves God's people, and God's love is unchanging. We know how the story continues. The exiles return home. The captives are freed, and through God's initiative of loving faithfulness continues in and through the course of human history. God loves radically, redemptively, offering new and abundant life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in the midst of human sin and failing, of wars and genocide, of abuse and oppression, God is love. Steadfast, merciful, healing, powerful, redemptive love, and God calls us to love. The poetry of this passage becomes God's love letter to us, the truth of God's faithfulness, a message that still spans all generations. Sure, while the specific text of this section of Isaiah is written in a context of the end of exile, we, as God's adopted sons and daughters, find assurance in God's promise to never leave us nor forsake us. The underlying truth of this passage speaks powerfully in the context of our day and time and our identity as God's people, the body of Christ. The message that we are remembered by God, inscribed, some translators say carved, in the palm of God's hand with indelible ink, speaks to our identity as God's people and our call to live as such. We know that in truth, in many ways, we have known exile. We've been estranged from the love of another through conflict or death, through incarceration, through a litany of circumstances that separate us from the tangible presence of one's love for us. We have lived as a stranger in a community and have found that sometimes we have been in places in which we have not been welcomed. We have felt the exile of the isolation of bullying, of judgments against us that have kept us from fellowship or leadership, for no reason apart from our race or gender or sexual identity. We have known what it means to be forgotten, when the time has come for us to be considered for a promotion, when debilitating illness has led to isolation and no visitors have come, when past choices have filled us with shame, and we have sent ourselves into exile to spare those we love. But even in these faraway places, God has not forgotten us. God remembers us. God comes to us with a promise of salvation and delivers us into a promised land. Friends, there is power to remembering. We know this as a people. We celebrate the power of remembrance on national holidays, celebrating the legacy of those who have paved a better way for us. We celebrate the power of remembrance when we ceremonialize the changing of the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier. We celebrate the power of remembrance when we memorialize a loved one, or when we read a newspaper and pray, when we give thanks for the food we are about to receive and for the hands that prepared it, when we write a letter to a young man in college from our church, when we read the stories of our faith, when we gather around the communion table, and when we name those who have faced tragedies in the hopes that such tragedy will never happen again. Just as this passage is a consolation, this too is a passage of call. As God remembers us, we are invited to partner with God and remember others. We do not know whose name it is that sits alongside ours in the palm of God's hand. But we are to look at all who we meet, those around us and those we may never know, as brothers and sisters held in God's hand. We are called to remember children who have been trafficked across boundaries for sexual slavery. We are to remember child soldiers in Northern Africa. We are to remember women who walk miles each day for enough water to nourish their families. We are to remember those buried under the rubble of earthquakes in New Zealand and Haiti. Across the world, we are to remember those washed away in tsunami waters and those who look to the shores and grieve the loved one they have lost. We are to remember those who die of HIV/AIDS in our community and across the world, and those who sit inside prison cells and crack houses, and those with no money or health care or hope. We are called to remember. And our remembering is the first step toward service, toward action. Our remembering is the first step toward solidarity. It is the first step toward discerning how God is calling us to use our blessings and our gifts that we have been given so that we might minister to those in need in our community and in our world. Hear the good news, friends. God has not forgotten us. In fact, God came to us to dwell with us, to be with us in Christ. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells within us as our counselor, our comforter, and our hope each day. Even when we feel the pain of abandonment, of isolation, of confusion, of despair, of loneliness, God wears our names, holding us in the palm of God's hand. May we see in those we meet this week, may we see in the faces of those whose faces just gloss across our television screen, or whose communities are named in our newspaper, whose concerns weigh on our hearts, may we remember our brothers and sisters in need and share the good news that God has not forgotten them. And may we be instruments of God's healing, redemptive, delivering hope this day and forevermore. Thanks be to God.
Let us come before God with the prayer concerns of this community and of our own hearts, saying together at the end in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, in confidence and trust, we bring our prayers before you. We pray for the church, for this congregation and the churches throughout this community and throughout the world. May we be salt and light. May we remind people not to worry about the things of this life, for you care for us as you care for the lilies, as you care for the birds, as you care for the least. Therefore, give us freshness in our message, commitment in our actions, and the power to reveal Christ in word and deed. We pray for the world. May you lead us and all people into the ways of justice and peace, that we may grow together into one beloved community, respecting one another in freedom and truth. We pray for all places where there is currently unrest, where there are winds of change blowing through long, stagnant corridors of power. We pray for the people of Northern Africa, of the Middle East, for safety on the streets, for spirits of democracy and truth. We pray for our own city, for its elected officials, for homes and neighborhoods where there is still violence and abuse, where there is gunfire, where there is need and poverty and fear. Lord, once more, open doors. Bring help and healing. Bring hope and confidence. Be with all teachers and students alike, that days can be filled with learning and learning can be a pathway to life in its fullness. Be with all medical and care facilities, nurses and doctors, aides and assistants. As we reach out to one another, may that reaching also strengthen us, that in the giving and the receiving, we all will be made whole. Let us serve Christ in one another and love as he has loved us. On this day, Lord, we lift up the prayer concerns of our church, praying for all in need, but remembering especially Sue and Ashley, Jessica, Joanne, for Alana, Melanie, for Cheryl, for the Mazingi family, for Beth's great aunt, for Elizabeth's niece, for Libby's mother, Minnie, for Hal and Linda, for Sherry, for Heather's uncle's father, for Clark and Nancy's friend, Donna, for Tony White, for all who are living in assisted care, who are grieving the loss of loved ones, who are alone. God of hope, comfort and restore any who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, and make us willing agents of your compassion, sharing and serving others. And lastly, Lord, grant all who have come here this day that they can leave behind any burdens they've carried, that they can step away from sinfulness, from regret, that they can move towards life, healing, forgiveness, that they can dare to believe because you have first believed in us, writing us upon the very palms of your hand, that your embrace may always encircle us. And then send us forth, for we are not willing to remain inert and inactive. Send us out by your wind and your spirit. Send us until all the world follows not only us, but even more so follows the one in whose name we gather, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord of all. Hear us now as we offer the prayer that Jesus, this same Lord, has taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.